during Make and Groom, we will talk about how to carve out space for the most important things in your life so that you can breathe. Life shouldn't be lived at 100 miles an hour. So let's make some room to enjoy it.
You know, when Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, often we look at that and we think that that has just a spiritual connotation to it. It just connects with the spiritual side of things, right? You know, God doesn't expect us to do X, Y, Z. But that's really not the fullness of what Jesus was talking about. In fact, I think it's really interesting that he uses the phrase, you know, take my yoke. Now, most of you are probably not grew up on a farm or anything like that. My dad's side of the family, all farmers, all of them. I used to go up and spend time on the farm when I was in high school and middle school and that type of thing. We'd spend, you know, several weeks up there, and I do stuff, and I have seen and witnessed yokes in work, and it's really very interesting because yokes have two head holes to them. One head holes for one, and one head holes for the other. And so when Jesus says, take my yoke, what he's saying is, join me in what I'm doing. Join me in the process. Join me what I have for your life. But he's not saying, do it alone. He's saying, listen, come with me. And my expectations, the burden that I'm going to put on you is way less than the burden you're putting on yourself. It's way less than the expectations of the people around you. It's not that I don't have things for you, because he doesn't say, I have no burden for you. He says, the burden that I have for you is, it's light. It's easy. It's not overwhelming. It fits with who you are. Join with me in accomplishing what I have for you. But what happens is that we get so caught up, and we get so overwhelmed, and we get so, talking a million miles a minute about the problems of our life and everything like that, that we go, man, finding rest isn't possible for me. Finding time for me to decompress isn't possible for me. It's not possible. The demands of my life don't make it to where I can do that. So here's what I would challenge you with. You are calling Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, a liar when you say that. When you say, I don't have the time for that, God says, yes, you do. You just need to carve out the time. You need to find the time. Today, we're going to look at why it's so important and what you gain when you do that. But let's begin with a big idea, because I think this is really important. I don't know that it's profound, but I think it's really important. It may change even how you begin to view the potential conflicts, irritations in the lives of the people around you, the relationships that you have. And that's our big idea. It's really simple, okay? When I am at peace, or being at peace within myself, helps me be at peace with others. Being at peace within myself helps me be at peace with others. Now, I don't know if you have ever experienced this. I'm sure none of you have ever experienced this or ever gone through this before. But when you are freaked out, stressed out, worried, anxious-filled, you tend to have a very short fuse with those around you. I know you probably have never experienced that. I'm sure you've never, had a little minor relational explosion or anything like that. But I don't know about you, but when I know when I'm not inside the way I'm supposed to be inside, I do not have the patience that I need to have for other people. I don't have the relationship. I don't have the ability to do that. I have allowed myself to get so out of sorts that now the relationships that I have with others are out of whack too. But when you can find peace within you, and by the way, God says that he gives us this peace that passes all understanding. It goes beyond your ability to explain to others when you allow him to do it. It gives you that peace so that then you can start having peace with relationships that you have with other people. And it's so important that even Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, in his humanity, made it a specific point in time to be able to do that. Now, those of you that profess you don't have time, can I ask you if what you are doing is more important than what Jesus did? Think about it. Is what you're doing more important than what Jesus did? And if the answer is, well, no, I mean, obviously, he's like Jesus, the Messiah, died for everyone, kind of a big deal. If that's the case, and Jesus could do it, then so can you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to begin this morning. We're going to talk about why it's so important. So you need to make room for yourself so that, okay? And we're going to finish that sentence four different ways. We need to make room for ourselves so that we can, number one, gain the right perspective. Gain the right perspective. Now, this is so important to do because there are times in your life when situations and circumstances can be so overwhelming, so just overpowering, so just, I mean, you don't understand it. You know, somebody that you love is going through something incredibly painful, or they've passed away, or there's a broken relationship that you're trying to help out on, or you're the person in the broken relationship, or whatever the case may be, and your world seems to be like it's spinning out of control. Do you know that when you do things or you begin to think things from that perspective, your perspective is totally out of whack? You've been there, haven't you? Where you look at things and you're like, oh, this is the way it is. And then you are able to step back and you're able to gain some perspective and you're like, what was I thinking? That's not like that at all. It's more like X, Y, Z. And so Jesus himself even does this. The Bible says that Jesus finds out that John the Baptist is dead. And to give you a little context of who John the Baptist was, he was the cousin of Jesus Christ. But more so, he wasn't just the cousin of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was the forerunner. He was the one that announced that Jesus was here. He's the one that when Jesus walked on the scene, well, John the Baptist is baptizing all these people, you know, and he walks up and John looks at him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the Messiah. This is the one who God promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that he would send someone who would take away the sin of the world. This is him. Yeah. And then Jesus says, now I want you to baptize me. And John's like, no, you should baptize me. You're the Messiah. He goes, yeah, I know, but God has said he wants to do it this way. And so John baptizes him. And John professes or has a testimony afterwards. After he comes, he says, listen, after Jesus came up out of the water, I saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove, and I heard the voice of God say, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That's the connection these two guys had. That's pretty intense. Not only were they relatives, but they were spiritually connected because of this. And John the Baptist preached against a guy named Herod who happened to be the king, and he got ticked off and he took his head. Matthew chapter 14, verses 12 to 13. Later, John's disciples came for his, John the Baptist's, body and buried it. And because there was no social media of the day, they went and told Jesus what had happened. And as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be what? Alone. The situation, the circumstance, the loss that he experienced was so significant, he knew he needed time by himself. Maybe you're going through that. Maybe you've experienced that. And maybe in the midst of that, you have made some really poor decisions because you didn't stop, take some time, and gain perspective. Because oftentimes in the midst of crisis, we don't stop because we don't think we can stop. Now, there are times in life, let's be honest, there are times in life when you can't stop. Can we all agree to that? Things happen, and man, you've got to keep moving. But here's the thing. Once you have that moment in time to breathe, you better make time to do this. Because if you don't do that, your perspective is going to constantly be screwed up. You've probably met people who've gone through life with a twisted perspective, haven't you? Like, don't point. But you probably know some people who it's everybody else's fault. It's not my fault. If something goes wrong in their life, they've got to find someone to blame. That's somebody that's never dealt and never gained right perspective. And so because of that, they consistently go through life thinking everything is turned upside down. So it's really important for you as an individual, a mom or a dad, whatever the label that you have on you that you feel you've got to constantly live up to, I want to tell you, when things like this happen, you've got to step out to be able to gain some perspective. Now, before we move on, I want to say this because I think this is really important. There are some people, and again, please don't point or, you know, write them down or anything like that. There are some people who are incredibly selfish and incredibly self-focused. And they will hear what we're talking about today, and they will say, see, that's proof that I need all this time by myself so I can just sit by myself and not have to deal with the world. If you are that person today, I want to tell you that you are living in exact contrast to the way that Christ has called you to live. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for you. He gave himself up for you so that when you accept him, you can die to yourself. No longer live for yourself, but you live for Christ. And as you live your life in the body for Christ, you do it as you see others. In Philippians, Paul says that we are to consider others as better than ourselves. Also in Colossians, Paul says, listen, don't just consider your own interests, but also look to the interests of others. You see, we're not supposed to live life just focused on us. So don't take this and go, see, I've got to have 17 hours every single week by myself. No, it doesn't work that way. These are moments in time when you go, hey, I need to step out for a minute so that I can get things under control. Because what's going on inside of me is so tremendously chaotic that there's no way I can continue to engage in relationship the way that Christ has called me to. Let's look at the second thing here. You need to make room for yourself so that you can gain the right perspective, and second, so that you can maintain a healthy body. You can maintain a healthy body. I was looking for it when I first laid out this series a couple of months ago. I found a really great article regarding a study that they did on what types of things affected your heart in different ways. Because your heart, you know, your heart's just a muscle, right? And so your heart pumps, your heart does what it's supposed to do, the way it's supposed to do. And they did this study on what things affected the heart in what way. And they had people, you know, eat salty foods, woo, and had them eat red meat, yeah. You know, they had them eat pork rinds, not so much. They had them eat all these different things. They had them run all these different exercises. They had them, you know, do mind things where they had to figure out and do all these things. They had them, you know, do running and all sorts of stuff. And all the while, they're watching the heart, right? They're doing the whatever the thing is, the cardi rod or whatever, and watching what the heart was doing. And you know what they found? They found when they introduced a stressful person into the room, that put more stress and pain on the heart than if you were eating all the bad food, running millions of miles, doing all sorts of stressful equations and things in your head. It was more difficult for the heart to cope with a stressful person than it was all those other things. There are some times in your life where you need to step out so that you can get a healthy body. I remember when I was back in college, I heard an old pastor once say, I want to burn out for Jesus. And I'm like, I don't want to burn out at all. I want to kind of finish, you know, I'm like Paul, I want to finish the race. I want to complete this thing. Because they think, you know, boy, if we're doing it for Jesus, then it's okay. No. The disciples were doing it for Jesus. Look at this, Mark chapter 6, verses 31 to 32. But so many people were coming and going that Jesus and the apostles did not even have a chance to eat. This is not like, man, those disciples, they're so spiritual. Look at them. They didn't even stop and eat. They were healing people, you know, high-fiving on the forehead and everything. And they didn't have a chance to eat. No, look, it's not quoted as a good thing. It says, then Jesus said, let's go to a place where we can be alone. Get some rest. And they left in a boat for a place where they could be alone. This tells us several different things. I think it's really cool that Jesus does this because Jesus could have easily said, guys, listen, you need to go someplace and you need to go be alone and I'm going to go and I'm going to be alone, all right? Sometimes, especially when it comes to our physical bodies, it's important to invite people along to our alone time, okay? Now, it's not the stressful people. It's not like the people that you're dealing with and you're like, okay. But he's like, we're doing this together. We've been doing this ministry together. We are all worn out. Let's all get away so that we can get some rest. Why? Because we're in it for the long haul. We're not trying to see how many cripples we can heal today. Peter, we're not keeping score. Put away the tablet. We're just in it for the long haul. And I love the fact that they do this because I can just, in my mind, I picture it. You know, that's kind of the way I am. I picture these things in my mind. I've got quite a vivid imagination. And so, because I know that the 12 apostles were human beings, and I know that Jesus Christ took on full humanity, can you imagine what their conversations over dinner was? I don't know, they probably ate dried fish, date, and bread or something from the, you know, Special K market, or I don't know what it was. But as they sat, can you imagine what their conversations must have been like? Did you see that mom and that kid, and did you see this, and this was so cool, and I know I just prayed and like stood up and walked, it was so amazing. And their conversations, what they must have been like, and how they encouraged each other and challenged each other. That's a good thing sometimes to invite or engage others to spend that time with you, especially when you're dealing with the physical part of who you are as you're being overworked, overstressed, and overdone. So you need to make room for yourself so you can gain the right perspective, so that you can maintain a healthy body, so that you can grow stronger in your spirit. So that you can grow stronger in your spirit. Sometimes life throws us a curveball and we have no idea it's coming. We've all been there. We all have woken up in the morning and man, we just got sideswiped. You can't really prepare for those times. Your preparation for those times is pretty much every day when you do the first thing we talked about in this series, and that's making room for God. Because God knows what's coming. And so it's amazing when you make room for God and you read your Bible and, you know, 2 days before this chaos, it goes, listen, in the midst of the chaos, you know, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there you are, your rod and your staff, they come for me. And then all of a sudden chaos hits and you're like, rod and staff time, here we go. We're just going to take a deep breath and walk through this. But there are other times in life when you know big changes are coming. Maybe you're getting ready to move jobs. Maybe, you know, you're getting ready to have a child. Maybe you're getting ready to buy a new house. You're getting ready to make a change personally. You're like, man, I need to do X, Y, Z. And you know that big times, big things, big changes, big forks in the road are headed your way. That is really a necessary time for you to take a step back, gain the perspective, get healthy in the way you need to, so that you can grow stronger in your spirit to be ready for what comes next. In fact, God did this to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gets baptized by John the Baptist, and immediately the Bible says that the Spirit of God takes him out. Look at this. Mark chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. Then the Spirit compelled or led Jesus to go into the wilderness. Now, my whole life growing up until I was 17 years old, when I heard wilderness, I heard desert. Anyone else think that way? Wilderness, desert. When you say wilderness, especially when you're in the nation of Israel, I got to go to Israel when I was 17. It was so cool. They mean like the woods, the forest area, the remote areas where there's not a whole bunch of houses and building. It's like you're out there with, you know, the birds and the trees, kind of like Snow White, you know, and everything shows up. And that's what it's like, okay? That's the wilderness. And so it says, compelled him to go out to the wilderness, to go out to be by himself all alone. And for 40 days, the Bible says that he spent time by himself, preparing himself for what was going to come next. Because when he came back, that's when his earthly ministry began. That's when he started 3.5 years of nonstop teaching, leading, healing, confronting the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the priests of the day, teaching people what it meant to be a follower of him, revealing who he was, all those things. That was about to all break loose. And so he spent 40 days by himself getting ready. And I love this because watch what happens. Where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days, and he was out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Matthew tells us that it wasn't the full 40 days, but rather at the end of 40 days, Satan shows up. Isn't that what he always does? When you are at the end, and you're like, you feel like, okay, I can do this, and all of a sudden you get something, and it knocks you for a loop. That's exactly what Satan tries to do here to Jesus. He shows up and goes, hey, Jesus, I think this. And he starts misusing Scripture. By the way, just because somebody throws a piece of Scripture at you doesn't mean that they're speaking for God. That's very important. That's very important, especially if you watch late night church TV. Just saying. And so Satan starts throwing verses at him, says, hey, what about this? What about this? And Jesus goes, no, no, no. The Bible says that the angels then showed up, and they ministered to him, And he was hanging out with the wild animals. That's what it says right here. It says he was out among the wild animals and the angels took care of him. You see, before you take or embark on a new adventure in your life, a new journey, a new chapter, it's really good to take some time and grow your spirit stronger so that you can do that. Final one. We need to make room for ourselves so that we can get right, get the right perspective, gain the right perspective, maintain a healthy body, grow stronger in your spirit, and then finally make better decisions. Make better decisions. Anyone in here ever made a bad decision? All right, cool. I'm not going to ask you if you've made a second one, because if you've made one, they come in pairs. But I want you to think about it. How many of you at the time you made that decision thought to yourself, well, this is a bad decision? You're like, well, this is a bad decision, but I'm going to do it anyways. No, usually it's like, hey, this is a bad decision. You don't think about that until after the fact. And after everything has kind of gone past and you're able to step back and look at it, you're like, well, that was dumb. I probably shouldn't have done that. So my challenge to you is, instead of waiting till after the fact to step back and take a look at it, maybe before you make the decision, you take a step back and look at it. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. The Bible says he's getting ready to choose his 12 apostles. Now, whenever we think of the disciples, we often think of the number 12, because that's who's prominent. That's who the cornerstones of the church were. That's, you know, Matthew, Mark, Peter, James, John, all those guys, you know, all the list of them. But the reality is that Jesus had probably over 100 disciples that traveled with him wherever he went. In fact, at one point, we see Jesus sending 70 of those disciples out to do ministry and report back to him. So 70 plus 12, that's 82 right there. So Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, has all these people around whom are going, Rabbi, we want to learn from you. We want to follow you. We'll do whatever you say. And Jesus had to, out of all these, pick the 12. And so here's what Jesus does. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 13. About that time, Jesus went off to a mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night there by himself. And the next morning, he called the disciples together and chose 12 of them to be his apostles. Before you make a big decision, it's really wise to take some time and think about it. Many years ago, when Tracy and I were first married, we made a decision in our lives that any major decision that we made, we would wait 24 hours before making that decision. Part of that is because, you know, those of you that know me well, you probably know this. I'm like a jump in with 2 feet first type of person, you know. We'll figure out the details later. Come on. That's kind of how I am. Tracy, not so much. Like, so what am I going to do, and what's the next step, and then how going to, and what happens if this happens? You know, so we decided that the best thing would be to, listen, we're going to wait 24 hours. So you pray about it, I'll pray about it, we'll think about it. If you want a question, you have a question, we'll talk about it. And then after that time, we would come together, and it was amazing how often we were like, what do you think? And we're like, well, I was thinking about this, and as I was praying, I thought about this. We're like, that's what I was thinking too. That's so cool. And I think I can honestly say, when we consistently did that, I don't know that we ever made what I would consider as a bad decision. I truly don't think so. And we've made some bad decisions, and it's usually because we didn't do the 24-hour rule to gain that perspective, to take some time to really make the best decision possible. And so maybe you're facing a major life decision right now. Maybe you are really like, I just don't know. I need to launch out on my own. I can't do this job thing anymore. We're thinking about maybe having another kid. We're thinking about buying a house. We're thinking about buying a car. You're like, car's not that big of a deal. $500 to $600 a month for 6 years? That's a big deal. Can you imagine what you can do with that? By the way, I would always encourage you never buy a new car. But anyways, we'll just talk about that at another time, maybe next week. But as you think about it, realize you've got to take time so that you can make wise decisions. Now, implementing this is really important. Implementing this is really important, especially if you have someone, if you're married, or if you're in a close relationship with someone, and you need to sit down and have the conversation with them where you're telling them, I need time away from you. And you need to figure out how to say it not like that. And it's like, listen, you'd be like, listen, it's not about you, it's about me. Probably shouldn't say that either. That doesn't end well. But here's what you can say, and I would encourage you to say it something like this. I am messed up. Can we all agree to that? Not that I personally am messed up, that we as individuals are messed up. Can we agree to that? We all have our issues, and there are certain things that hit each of us differently at different times. There are things that we need to deal with. There are things that we need to work through. There's perspective that needs to be gained, decisions that need to be made, processes that need to be brought into our lives so that we can find peace or we can find physical healing because we just kind of run at a million miles an hour. And so you need to sit down and you need to have that conversation and you need to communicate the why before that. Secondly, you need to stop feeling guilty about it. I don't know how many times when Tracy and I have sat with a husband and a wife, and honestly, it's usually the wife. Where it's like, sister, you need to take some time off. You need to break away from the wife. I can't because this is We're like, that's the reason you need to break away. Because you need to take some time. And here's how I always try to explain it. What's going to benefit your children more? A mom or a dad that's so stressed out and frayed that things overwhelm and discourage, that's so ready to pop that if milk is spilled, a shotgun comes out? It's probably time to take a break because when you take those breaks, you come back refreshed with a better perspective and you make better decisions, and you feel better on the inside, and what's better for your kids? A mom or a dad that does that, or a mom or a dad that keeps pushing through because that's what their mom and dad did? And oh, by the way, they're now divorced, and they don't want anything to do with each other. It's really important to take that time. And the third thing you need to do, and I cannot stress, this quite frankly may be the most important thing I tell you this morning. When it's over with, express profound gratitude. Overdo it. When you come back from being able to spend an afternoon by yourself sitting on a park bench just going, you come back and you're like, oh, thank you so much. That was so, I mean, I can't tell you how I feel. I can't even express it. I think that's called a peace that passes all understanding. Thank you so much. You go, why? I feel awkward doing that. Do you want to be able to do it again? Express profound gratitude. Do you want to be like Christ? Express profound gratitude. Because here's the deal. When you step out, somebody's got to step up. And especially if you're married, when you step out, your spouse has got to step up for that time period and kind of be both of you. And so they are sacrificing so that you can get the time that you need. So when you come back, you be profoundly grateful for their sacrifice. And as you do that, you're going to experience this beautiful cycle that begins to take place between the two of you. That when you are struggling and need time away, they're doing okay and they can step up and they can spend some time and they can sacrifice some of that stuff so that you can get away. And then it comes back and forth and back and forth. And so everybody gets what they need so that the entire group is the way that it needs to be. So I encourage you. Have the conversation. Figure it out. Express that gratitude afterwards. Maybe you're like, I haven't hit any of those yet this week, but I know they're coming. Maybe you know some big things are on the horizon, and that's what you need to do. You need to go, I need to spend some time just kind of stepping out and honor each other when they allow you to do that. Father God, we thank you for the example that Jesus Christ has given us. We thank you that even in his humanity, He showed us that it was necessary to take that time. God, I pray we would remember that when we are at peace within ourselves, we can be at peace with those around us. God, I know just because of the amount of people that are here today, that there are people who the last time they experienced peace within themselves, we had a different president. We had, a different thing that was going on. I mean, maybe, goodness gracious, maybe leisure suits were still in style. And God, we've just kind of kept running and pushing, and we'll push through, and we'll push through. And God, that is not how you intended for us to live. God, you have commanded us that we need some time, some breaks away. God, help us find the peace that you want to give us. Help us, instead of trying to drag it all with our two hands, we simply step into the other side of the yoke that Jesus has offered us. So we can be the man, the woman that you've called us to be. We can be the mom, the dad that our kids deserve and need. We can be the husband and the wife that our spouse desperately longs for, because we're willing to take some time to gain perspective, to get healthy, to make better decisions, and to grow in our spirit. We thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name.